My dear respected elders and brothers, there is no doubt that today I had envisaged speaking on several issues that came to mind. One of them was obviously that during the course of the week, when the Israeli regime, they attacked an innocent ship that was carrying humanitarian aid to Gaza. I will, inshallah, towards the end make mention of it. But of course, we have come through several weeks in which we are reacting to various issues. So we are reacting to what happened in the cartoon saga, and we spoke about that. Now this particular issue came, and maybe we felt that we will also speak about it, so we would be reacting to that. But I also thought that we can't always be reacting. We can't always be only reacting to what agenda has been set out for us. We also, from time to time, need to look at our own individual selves. We also have to look at our own individual and spiritual development, which is so important for our success. Yes, no doubt, those things will happen, and we need to react in this forum and in other forums. Alhamdulillah, in this regard, there have been many press statements that were issued by the Jamiatul Ulama and many other organizations. There was a rally held during the course of this week in Indonesia, in which I shared the platform with some government officials on this issue. But today I'm not going to react to that. I will discuss it towards the end, but I want to speak about a very important point, and that is our own individual progress, spiritual progress, and our own individual evaluation of our deeds. And one of the reasons is that it has become very easy, it has become almost a norm amongst us, that we like to talk about others. We like to talk about other issues, other people, and many a times forgetting ourselves in the process. Have we ever noticed in any gathering with what amount of gusto, with what amount of enthusiasm we speak about others and their faults, perceived or otherwise? Look at every gathering of ours. This one did that, this organization did this, this one organization did that. If only we could have spoken with the same gusto, with the same enthusiasm about our own faults, about our own situation. And that seems to be missing. And therefore, I felt I'm going to speak about this today. It is something that seems to escape us. We love to talk about others. And the way the Urdu poet had said, "Pari jo apne aib aur par nazar, to jahan mein koi bura na raha." When you started looking at your own self, then you regard no one is bad in the world. I'm bad. That the moment you start looking at everyone else's faults, Hadith Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, that the moment a person looks at the faults of others, he gets deprived of improving himself. The moment a person starts focusing only on other people's faults, then he gets deprived of rectifying himself. And this is surprising. The reason that it is surprising is we have to realize, although sometimes it doesn't seem to come to our mind, that even if you speak about other people, those people are not going to come into your qabr. You're going to have to account for your deeds on yourself. You're going to go into your qabr on your own. And no matter how much you speak about the faults of other people's faults, and even if they have those faults, they are going to answer about it in their qabr. And in front of Allah, you are not going to answer on their behalf. You're going to answer about what you did or did not do. And this seems to miss us today. We see perhaps death on a daily basis. We see people dying in front of us. We see situations of dozens of people dying unjustly. But somehow it feels it happens to others, it doesn't happen to us. It just doesn't seem to register to us that we are also going to go through the same process. We need to do something for ourselves. And very long ago, there was a person who was writing a book. And in that book, he wanted to record the saying of ulama, what they're going to do if they know that today is the last day of your life. And maybe sometimes it'll be a good thing that you and I will also do the same thing. If I know that tomorrow, somehow or the other, I get some sort of situation that tomorrow I'm going to die, what I'm going to do today? Is the things that I'm rushing towards to complete Would it be such a priority if I know that tomorrow I'm going to die? Nevertheless, let us take this as an example. So he went, one of the most inspiring replies he got from a muhaddith, Abdul Rahman ibn Nu'aym rahimahullah. And he also is the one who compiled the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a compilation, right, known as Nu'aym. But anyway, when he asked him, he gave a remarkable reply. He said, if I know that tomorrow I'm going to die, then today I won't make one iota of difference to my schedule today. He said, why? He said, because I'm living every day for the past so many years as this is the last day of my life. He said, I'm living for so many years as if this is the last day of my life. So if I know tomorrow I'm going to die, today I won't make one iota of difference to my schedule. And it reminds me of a remarkable hadith, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, we were 10 sahaba, 10 people, went to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, tell us who is most intelligent. Tell us who is most wise. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَكْثَرُهُمْ ذِكْرًا لِلْمَوْتِ وَإِسْتِعْدَادًا لِلْمَوْتِ أُولَٰئِكَ الْأَكْيَاسِ ذَهَبُوا بِشَرَفِ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَامَةِ الْآخِرَةِ. That the person who remembers death most frequently, who prepares for it the most, he is wise and intelligent. He is wise and intelligent. ذَهَبُوا بِشَرَفِ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَامَةِ الْآخِرَةِ. Such a person has taken the sharaf of this dunya. He has taken the honor of this dunya and he has taken the respect of the akhirat. And the person who doesn't do so, he's a fool. The way I've previously made mention of an incident, but it fits the topic so well. Bahlul was a person who used to sometimes say words of wisdom, although he was not widely regarded as a very wise person. He used to be looked upon as a lower rungs of society. People used to laugh at him. People used to joke with him. So in a similar manner, Harun al-Rashid used to laugh and joke with him. So one day in that joke, because he was regarded to be a foolish person, Harun al-Rashid gave him a stick and said, Bahlul, I find you to be the most foolish person in the world. The day you find someone more foolish, you give him the stick. Today you are worthy of being given the stick for being the most foolish person in this earth. So he carried on, he took it, didn't say anything. Many years after that, Harun al-Rashid was on his deathbed. So he went to Harun Rashid and said, Harun, how are you? Harun said, I'm not well. Doctors have given up hope. I might not be able to make it. I'm going to leave this world. So he said, Harun, what preparations have you made for Akhirat? So Harun Rashid said, I haven't made much. I haven't done. So he said, you know, Harun, when you used to travel, when you were the Khalifa, when you used to go from place to place, you used to tell the governor, I'm coming there tomorrow. See that everything of mine is right. All my preparations must be done. The way you and I, when we want to go for any journey, our visa must be right. Our ticket must be right. Our accommodation there must be right. All of that must be right. You used to make so much preparations. Are you telling me that you're going for your ultimate journey? You have made no preparations? He said, yes, that's a reality. He took out the stick and said, Harun, I thought I was foolish. You are more foolish. You take the stick now. I found someone more foolish than myself. Brothers, this is a reality. All of us are in the same boat by and large. Somehow or the other, we have become so engrossed about talking of issues, talking about what is happening, talking to what is happening to other people, talking about events in the Middle East, and no doubt we have to do it. But in the process, what has happened to our own individual reformation? We are going to face Allah Ta'ala ourselves. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ. Whoever fears standing before Allah, Allah will give him two jannats. Have we feared that we're going to stand one day before Almighty Allah? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to say, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسِبُوا وَزِنُوهَا قَبْلَ أَن تُوزَنُوا. O people, evaluate your deeds before Allah Ta'ala evaluate your deeds. And weigh your deeds before Allah Ta'ala weigh your deeds. Before your deeds is weighed, before someone else evaluate your deeds, you evaluate your deeds on your own. And you weigh your deeds before Allah Ta'ala will weigh it on the day of Qiyamah. Then it will be too late. We won't be able to do anything. And the way we tell many a time students, study before the examination comes. If you're going to wait till the examination comes and you haven't studied, you're going to fail. In a similar manner, if we don't make preparations for death and akhirat, then what's going to happen to us, my dear respected brothers? May Allah Ta'ala keep us away with regard to this. And this evaluation is such an important thing that we find that there were various degrees of accountability amongst our sahaba, amongst the ashab of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes they used to evaluate one another. Hazrat Umar as a Khalifa used to be so strict on accountability and evaluating his governors. One day he came to hear about Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, who was the governor, I think it was in Kufa, or in that particular region, in the Persian Empire, because he conquered the Persian Empire. So he found that he had, as a governor, had put a porch, a balcony outside his home. And he became angry and said, "O Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, did Allah Ta'ala make you a governor for that? Go and destroy that porch." And one day he stood on a mimbar and he said, "O people, what will you do if I do something wrong?" And one old Baddu got up and took a sword and said, "O Umar, if you become wrong as our Khalifa, we will straighten you with a sword." So Umar became so happy and said, "Alhamdulillah, there are people who will take account of my deeds." But together with that, our own evaluation. And you find in our history, there used to be a very great muhaddith, Ibn Abdullah Harith bin Aswad, rahimahullah. People used to call him Muhaysabi. His name in the books of hadith is Muhaysabi. What's the meaning of Muhaysabi? Because he used to be so strong on evaluating your deeds. There used to be a muhaddith, subject to correction, his name was Rabi ibn Khuthum. He used to write down everything he used to say from one Thursday to another Thursday. At the end of the Thursday, before he used to count, what did he say? What he used to say was good, he used to thank Allah. And what he would say that was wrong, he used to make, "Oh Allah, I ask for you for forgiveness, I won't do this again." Anyone who takes bad to a sheikh, you know, a spiritual sheikh, will tell him this at the end of the day: make muhasabah of your deeds. Account for your deeds. What did you do during the day? If you have done something good, thank Allah. If you have done something wrong, ask Allah for forgiveness and tell Allah you won't do it again. This is muhasabah that we are supposed to do on a constant basis, my dear respected brothers. Otherwise, may Allah Ta'ala forbid, we would be in very great anxiety on the day of Qiyamah if we don't do this. We know about the incident of Hanzala. Hanzala one day was sitting with his family, and just the thought came that when I'm with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I don't have the same type of, you know, fear when I'm with my family than I'm with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When I'm with my family, I'm a little bit lackadaisical. I'm a little bit of situation. I'm taking things easy. I don't have the thought of Allah the way I have when I'm with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This thought said, I've got a contradiction in my thought. When I'm with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my thought is different. When I'm with my family, my thought is different. And he got up from there and said, Hanzala has become a munafiq. On this particular situation, look at his accountability. We do wrong on a daily basis. Nothing hurts us. Nothing even bothers us. Here on this one small thing, that I don't have the same degree of the fear of Allah when in my house, when I'm with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, compared with when I'm with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, made him rush out of his house saying, "I've become a munafiq, I've become a hypocrite." And when he went to tell Nabi Kareem, on his way he met Abu Bakr. When he related to him, Abu Bakr said, "My situation is also the same. I've also become a munafiq." And he went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, that is not the situation. There are different situations. There is time for this, there is time for that. When you are with your family, it is natural that you're not going to have the same degree of taqwa and piety the way you're going to have when you are in the masjid. That is natural." But what I'm saying, look at the accountability. Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullah alayh, one of our great akabirin and one of our pious people, people used to write many things against him. They used to write abusive letters to him. They used to swear him. So his students, when he, because at the advanced age, when he couldn't read his own letters, the students used to read the letters for him. So then when those letters used to come, they're out of shame. How can we read these abusive letters to our ustad? They used to hide those letters away. Then Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullah alayh one day called them and said, "Where are those letters? Those letters used to come that they used to abuse me. Where are those letters?" He said, "No, we don't have the guts to read it to you." He said, "No, read it to me. Even if they abuse me, never mind. They can abuse me, that is true. But maybe in those letters, they might be talking about a fault of mine. Maybe I will rectify myself." Look at that sense of accountability. Even then he was saying, "Read those letters to me. Even if there is something abusive, maybe in that, within that, there might be something that is my fault. Then I can rectify myself." And brothers, we have to do it sooner than later. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, "Badiru bil amal saliha," that hasten towards good deeds before a time come. "Fatakuna fitnatun kaqat'i qaqit'il layl al muslimah." This is in Sahih Muslim. Hadith in Sahih Muslim. That hasten towards your good deeds before a time come when fitna will come. And fitna will come like a portion of the darkness of the night. Where يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنْ وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. A person will be a mu'min in the morning and he will be a kafir in the evening. May Allah Ta'ala forbid and protect us. He said, hasten towards good deeds before fitna will come, where you will be a mu'min in the morning and you will be a kafir in the evening. So hasten towards that. And reminds me of a situation. You see, when you tell parents in a school, for example, or the teacher tell the paper, you know, about your child is not doing well. Now, if you tell the child in the beginning of the year that your child is not doing well, then the parent said, we thank you. You have given us sufficient time to rectify and make amends with regard to our child's deficiency in his studies. But if the school administration have to tell a child 2 days before the exams that your child is not doing well, what will the parent say? The parent will say, why are you telling us 2 days before the exams? You should have told us earlier in the year, we could have made amends. Now you're telling us 1 day before the exams, what can we do? In a similar manner, brothers, we can't wait. We don't know when we're going to go, so it has to be done earlier so that you can make sufficient preparations with regard to that. And when you evaluate yourself, one thing very important is you have to be very honest with yourself. Today when we want to evaluate ourselves, then we try to look for justification. And justification is the way of shaitan, self-justification. And when we want to evaluate ourselves, what happens to us many a times? What we'll do, I'll tell you many a times, and we know, human being is like that, shaitan, Allah Ta'ala has told us about this. In the Ar-Rashid article of the Jamiatul Ulama, there is one article which I would tell you to read on that. Self-justification, the whispers of shaitan. So what we do when we evaluate yourself? You know, I'm reading three rakats, I'm reading three salat a day. That person is only reading one, man. Alhamdulillah, I'm still good. That's not evaluation. That is deceiving yourself. I'm at least reading my namaz, man. That person doesn't even read namaz. I'm very good, man. I'm still making yasin every day. That person, he drinks. That person doesn't read namaz. That person comes once a week. But you're not going to answer on his behalf. But that is a common situation when we want to evaluate ourselves. We're comparing ourselves with the lowest. You don't compare yourself with the lowest with regard to your worldly things. But when it comes to the deeds, when you evaluate yourself, a common mistake that we do is this. Another one is, yes, I know I must do it, but I will do it later on. Leave me now to enjoy myself. The only answer we can give to people, do you give any guarantee that you can be alive tomorrow morning? Then by all means, procrastinate your evaluation. Procrastinate and do it whenever you want. If you can give a guarantee when you're going to die. So all of this is self-justification that we employ during the course of our evaluation, which hinders our spiritual development and hinders ourselves getting better. So at the end of the day, my dear respected brothers, I think it's very important for us to rethink and look at this, what Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu had said. And the reason why I'm saying it is because becoming a common thing amongst us, we're always looking at other people. Hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu. And no society is going to come right until we as individuals become right. A strong boat cannot be made with rotten board. If the boards are rotten, the ship is going to be rotten. If the individual is rotten, the society is going to be rotten. One of the reasons why the society in the time of the Sahaba was good was because the individuals that made up the society were good. And that is where we need to start off with regard to ourselves. And during the process of all of these other things that are happening, sometimes we are forgetting this. Remember what Umar radiallahu anhu said, Hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu, wazinuha qabla an tuzanu. Let us make that the motto of our life. Take stock of your deeds, evaluate your deeds before Allah Ta'ala take stock of your deeds and evaluate your deeds. Weigh your own deeds, قَبْلَ أَن تُوزَنُوا, before Allah Ta'ala will weigh it, and then it will be too late. May Allah give you another tawfiq of understanding. Let us also conclude by also making mention, we have made mention of it. You know, when you are a person thinks that a regime that has stooped to such great levels of oppression and injustice in the past, you know, with regard to killing young children, killing activists, killing old people, bulldozing houses, and all types of wrong, and you think that it cannot stoop any more lower, then you have a situation that when a ship that moves out with the intention of breaking a blockade, many times people ask the question, why was this blockade? Why did the ship have to go? They knew they were going to court danger. Why did they have to go? People do not realize this. The realization is that for almost a year now, Gaza has been strangled to such an extent. What goes in, what doesn't go out is monitored to this extent that how much wheat must go, how much, all that is monitored. And now the situation has reached that according to United Nations, 1.5 million people in Gaza, out of that 1.5 million, 750,000 people require aid from the United Nations. because of the limited amount of supply that is allowed from the border and the checkpost. Out of that, there is, I can go on giving stats. I will not make mention with regard to it. For example, the electricity in Gaza, only 20 to 30% of its capacity. All the others is blocked out. So normal people in Gaza from 35 to 60 hours a week don't have electricity. They don't have no medical supplies. 10,554 people in the last couple of months had to go out for treatment outside Gaza because there's no medical supplies coming in. It is for this reason that the ship went out, to break that blockade and siege, while the world remained silent. Those people who went, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them. Many of them have been very close people to myself. My one very good friend wasn't there. And of course, towards the in this time of the year, the week, I was even worried with regard to his safety. He came out safe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him with regard to his sacrifice. But this was a stand that they had taken. And then of course, we know how it reached and what had been the outcome. But at the end of the day, we know that injustice cannot remain for a very long time. I had made mention, I think, a month or two with regard to this incident of, and this, I made a talk about injustice and zulm, and I read one hadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Inna Allah la yumli zalim." Allah Ta'ala gives rope to a zalim. Hatta idha akhadahu, but when Allah Ta'ala pulls the rope, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees them very, very strongly. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the ayat, "Wakadhalika akhdu rabbika idha akhadha al-qura wa hiya zalima." When Allah Ta'ala seizes the rope and seizes the oppressor, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's seizing is very, very severe. But it won't happen according to our time frame. It might happen according to Allah ta'ala's time frame. It might happen when perhaps we are more turning towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But whatever it is, it will happen. Because Allah ta'ala has promised this, and Allah ta'ala never goes against his promises. We also welcome the South African government's decision to recall the South African ambassador from Israel. And while there was a news yesterday of certain communities who have shown disappointment, I think the Muslim community must bring it to the fore that we welcome the South African government's decision on this. It has been perhaps an even greater response than what even many of our Muslim countries have done. Right? But be as it may, I just thought that while we talk about these things, let us also talk about our individual amal, our own individual evaluation, and we all do the things together what we are supposed to do. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things change for the better, both in this world and in the year after. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.